Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week our guest is Jack Murley, presenter of the BBC LGBT Sports podcast. It's been going for 6 years, and in the beginning, it wasn't always easy to get guests to come on the show, but the slow burn has paid off. And now Jack interviews some of the biggest names in sport who are either from the LGBTQ plus community or are an ally. This podcast doesn't shy away from difficult conversations about mental health and coming out to friends, family, and publicly. I started by asking Jack how he'd describe his feelings presenting the show.
A privilege is the sort of nerdy way I'd look at it. For a listener coming into it, what is it? It's a half-hour chat every week with someone different in sport who's either from the LGBTQ plus community or an ally of the LGBTQ plus community. In reality, it's just a really good natter where the first sort of half is about sporting achievements and what people have done in their sporting careers. And the second bit is a little bit more personal about their journey as a member of the LGBTQ plus community. And I can't believe it's been going for 6 years and people still let me do it because it's a thrill.
Was it your idea originally? How did you pitch it?
Yeah, it was. So I was working in the Channel Islands. I was a sport producer and presenter for the BBC there. And so I had a 4-hour sports show every week that I filled with commentaries and things like that. And I came home to visit my mum and something had got my goat. Georgie, sometimes things get my goat. Sometimes things wind me up a bit and I don't know what it was. You know what it's like? And I'd said to my mum, I'd seen something. I was like, it's ridiculous. Whenever anyone comes out in sport, it's always plinky plonky piano music. It's always sad and it's all very depressing and it shouldn't be that way. And as mums can do, she sort of looked at me and went, yeah, if only someone had a microphone and a show where they could change that. And you know what it's like. So I sort of went back I took that in the spirit it was intended. And I went back to my bosses and I said, how about we do sort of a 15-minute segment on every sports show where we just speak to someone LGBTQ plus in sport? And we did. And then we thought there might be an audience for this online. So we sort of reversioned it into a podcast and away we went.
What did you want to achieve with the podcast when you started it? Did you have a vision?
No, there was no vision. If I sat here and said, I want to do this and that and the other thing, no, none whatsoever. I wanted to have interesting conversations. I wanted, I guess, on some level to show there were different ways of having the conversations that were being had in sport. And I wanted to be nosy with like people I'd grown up watching and who had inspired me along the way. But no, there was no grand vision. And the idea that we'd still be going 6 years on is ludicrous to me because podcasts, the easiest thing is to start a podcast. The hardest thing is to keep a podcast going. I thought if we can get 20 episodes here, it would be good because it's not the easiest topic in the world to get people who are LGBTQ plus in sport to talk. So yeah, there were no expectations whatsoever.
Sport is an area where it's still a bit taboo, well, very taboo to come out. Why do you think that is? Why is sport such a difficult area for the LGBTQ plus community?
It's a good question and it's a question we get a lot. And the first thing I'd say is I don't think it's necessarily easy to separate sport from society. So people sometimes say, why is sport really hard to come out in? Actually, coming out in society is just and can be really difficult. Even for those of us who've had quite lucky journeys, and I consider myself one of them, have still had struggles to overcome. So it's not easy at the best of times. And then you plonk yourself down in sport where the situation is there's not much visibility. So you've not got anyone you can look at before you. So if you're a young LGBTQ plus person in sport, you're saying I'm going to come out, but there aren't any footballers I can look at in the men's game, or there aren't any people in the women's game who've done X or Y. So you've not got the visibility. And sport is something that has such eyes on it, you know, particularly football, I guess, which is where people talk about it in that context. It's the national sport of so many countries. If you're not sure how you're going to be received, and one of the things that could negatively impact you progressing in your career is being open and honest about who you are, that's inhibited a lot of people from doing it. But to go back to one of your earlier questions, did I want it to achieve making it easier to come out and support the podcast? I don't think so, but I do think we have played a small role in making that happen, which I'm very proud of.
Well, you've had people actually come out on the podcast, haven't you? They've been out to friends and family, but not publicly. Do you feel that that was a responsibility on you as the host?
Oh, huge. Absolutely huge. Because you know what this is like. You do shows and then you sort of put them out and you know people listen, but you don't really know they listen because it's a very intimate medium when you're just having a conversation with someone one-on-one. So when you get a message out of the blue from someone saying, you don't know me, but I know what you do, and actually I'd like to share my story on your show, A, you feel a real responsibility to get it right. And you would do that with any story. I think, like we've all in journalistic careers, if someone trusts you with something, you need to get it right. But when it's something so personal, so we had a message from Oshan Jones, the Welsh hammer thrower, and he sent a message saying, I've been listening to your pod for a while. I don't put a label on my sexuality, but I'm from the community. And I think it'd be helpful if you could tell my story. You think, okay, we've helped him, but now we need to tell his story right to help others. So yeah, it is a weighty old thing.
Do you feel the podcast has helped break down some barriers because of things? And things like you had a coming out special, didn't you? You put a compilation together of some of those great stories. How do you feel that's helped?
I think it gives people something to look to. So I know when I was growing up and I got a bit of grey in my hair, I got a lot of grey in my hair and a lot of grey in my beard. So I'm a little bit older than quite a lot of our guests. But when I was growing up, I was starved for visibility. I would be the person in WH Smith's looking at the front page of the Daily Mirror when One of Westlife came out going, oh my God, that's huge. That's another gay person. Oh my God. But I couldn't go and get the paper because everyone would know. So I think what we've done is we've provided this safe space where people can listen and hear those stories, and they can hear the really, really good, which for a lot of people it has been. They can hear the challenges. They can get ideas on how they might navigate. And I think because as a podcast has grown, we've had more visibility on BBC Sport and BBC Telly and things like that. We're in more places. And I think as well, the other thing is podcasting itself is a relatively new medium. So like it's quite intimate. So if you aren't out yet and you're doing your training run, you can have us on and no one will know you've got us on. So it's quite a safe space. So I think we've played... Yeah, I do think we've played our part.
You're not afraid to tackle challenging subjects. I mean, the whole of the podcast itself is challenging, but I'm thinking more about some of the mental health struggles that some of your guests have spoken about as well. There's been some really emotional conversations. Has anyone surprised you or shocked you ever when you're talking to them?
I always think it's I'm shocked by how open people are, and I guess that's a privilege because, you know, people do go through really difficult things, and that willingness for them to open up about that to us, I always think that's shocking in the best possible way. I remember speaking to Ryan O'Callaghan tail end of last year, and Ryan was an NFL player and a superstar and living the American dream. But the only reason he was playing football was he went as a kid, what is the straightest thing I can do to cover up the fact that I'm gay? Because I'm not ready for people to know. Yeah. And so he went into American football purely, and he was a big lad and he had athletic competence, but he didn't love football. He went there to hide. And the better he got, the more he could hide, till the point he's playing against Tom Brady on nationwide telly. And I remember saying to him, did you get any enjoyment from that? Like, you're living the American dream. Did you love it in any way? And he went, you know, it's nice to have money. And, you know, I'm not going to pretend I don't like money, and I'm not going to pretend I didn't like being in a team. But no, I was only doing it to hide who I was. And that really struck me because I've never had to go to those lengths and have the impact on the mental health that that had on Ryan, because Ryan was in a really dark place. So to hear that from someone from the outside looking in, you'd think that man's got everything. And actually all he was doing was hiding. That clearly still stays with me.
I never once loved the game. The only reason I played football to begin with was I found it was a great cover for being gay. I really relied on everyone's, you know, real ignorance, assuming that gay guys can't play American football. And I took advantage of that. You know, it worked for almost 30 years of my life.
As a host, as a broadcaster, how did you deal with that? And also as someone from the community, you're going to feel empathy, aren't you, all the time when these stories are coming out? You've got your own story as well, your own journey. How do you deal with that when someone comes out with something so surprising?
Here's the truth. I like to think I'm quite an empathetic person. So as much as these are big superstars telling me these stories, they're actually just people telling you their stories, and you think, God, blimey. So I try and be quite honest. And, you know, I think I said to Ryan at the time, Ryan, that makes me so sad it just makes me so sad. And I think if you can give people those honest, empathetic responses when they open up, and this is the key of listening, as you know, interviews are all about listening. If I had a list of 8 questions and he's just told me that thing and I go, right, but that's not what I want to ask in question number 6, so I'm just going to ignore that. It would have been very different. So I think there's that side of things. But then I also think I feel a responsibility to warn people who are coming to the podcast. That's what's coming up. Editorially, I don't want to ever trigger people. I don't want anyone to listen and go, you know, I've just come out the end of a really dark place myself. I'm looking to this podcast for a bit of escapism, and then I'm going to get hit by it in the same way Jack was. I'm sort of primed to deal with it because as a broadcaster, you know, we're ready for it. So I guess I feel more of a responsibility for the audience to be ready for it than I feel for myself.
The intimacy of audio is something I love about radio and audio. I know you do as well. It's just the perfect medium to tell these stories. But tell me about the intimacy of audio for this subject and why that means so much to you.
Why it means so much to me is, I guess I've just grown up loving it, and it is an intangible. But I remember listening to Terry Wogan and just thinking, Terry's talking just to me. And I know he's not, because he's got Deadly and he's got all those people that I know there's about 8 million others listening to the Radio 2 Breakfast Show, but he is talking just to me. I'm in his gang. And so I've always wanted to recreate that. You're right. These conversations, they are easier in a way to have when it's just you one-on-one with someone, because they're really personal, intimate.
You have to really listen. And you've said that a couple of times. It's all about listening, isn't it?
And that is the joy of this, because our episodes are about 35 to 40 minutes. I waffle at the start, I waffle at the end. It's about a half hour interview, give or take. But if someone gives me this amazing story that takes more time, let's have it, because you just trust people will stay with you, because I like to think that they're as interested in our guests as I am, because our guests they're giving big things. It's not just like the interviews are, tell me, did you have broccoli or cauliflower when you broke a world record in the morning? You know, it's there are pods that do that and do that well, but it's not like those are our topics. So I never want to say to a guest, I'm going to stop you there because I've only got 25 minutes and, you know, so we're done now. Without waffling on, the joy of podcasts is you can waffle on a bit.
This is a sports podcast as well, and you are a huge sports fan. I follow you on Twitter. It's all about the wrestling.
I'm sorry for that. I will say it's sport and it's a lot of wrestling at the moment, because wrestling's in a peak. But yes,
it's not a wrestling.
I'm sorry, Georgie. I'm sorry, but
it's
you are right.
Fine. I choose to follow you, Jack. It's my fault. I've got no one else to blame. How do you balance those two main themes, though? LGBTQ+, but sport as well. This is about sport.
That's sort of the nub of it, because when I was sitting there being gently chided by my mother about me shooting off about something I could have and ended up doing myself, about telling these stories differently, one of the things I was really keen on is, if I am Matthew Mitchum or if I'm Kate and Helen Richardson Walsh and I've trained my, you know, what's it off going to an Olympic Games, I finally won an Olympic gold medal, I want to talk about that. I want to share that experience with people. I don't want to be pigeonholed just by my sexuality. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why people don't come out in sport, because once you come out in sport, that becomes the overarching thing. You're no longer the Olympic gold medalist, you're the gay Olympic gold medalist. It may sound like a nuance, but when we do the pod, I try and flip it around. So it's actually they're an Olympic gold medalist or a World Cup winner, and they happen to be gay.
You do get these massive sports stars on the show. Do they approach you? Do you approach them? How do you book such big names, Jack?
So at first, it was definitely me approaching them. It was me phoning, texting, messaging, any contacts I could get. And actually, the one who turned it around for us was Claire Balding, because we were going well. And then we approached Claire Balding, and Claire Balding said, yeah, I'll do it. And that was a huge vote of confidence, because if you're a sports person and you're going to ask someone to approach me about this pod, I don't know if I should do it or not. Oh, but Claire Balding's done it. Claire's pretty sensible. Claire's a national treasure. If Claire's done it, it'll be fine.
Now I realise the value of being just really comfortable and proud and happy. And you don't have to be anything other than that. You don't have to make grandiose statements. You don't have to kiss in public. You don't have to. You just go to things together. You talk about each other and you get on with it. And that's massively helpful to people, because it's just, it kind of feels every day.
What advice would you have for someone who's starting any kind of podcast, listening to this in the industry, who maybe doesn't have that, you know, that foundation underneath them of something like the BBC? Because you're mentioning here, there's a lot of perseverance I'm getting from you.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I wouldn't discourage anyone from doing it. I think podcasts are great. And if you have a great idea, go for it. Be aware that your idea is going to change as you go along. You might start saying, we're going to be most like X, and we're going to sound like this, and we're going to do it this way and that way. And it's okay to change it. That every product evolves. But I think what you have to be aware of, it's not the starting a podcast that is hard. It is the keeping it going. And you can adapt to that in different ways. You might say, right, I've got this great idea for a podcast. I think I've got 10 great episodes, and then I'm not really sure after that. Well, say I'm only going to do a 10 episode run. Set yourself realistic goals on what you want to do. And also, it's not coal mining. Like, this is what I think about my job. It can only go so badly wrong. And if you launch a podcast that fails, just launch another one. You'll be fine. Like, just give it a go.
After having such a positivity, this feels a bit of a downer. But I did want to talk to you about negativity, because do you get that reaction from the podcast? I'm thinking of the evils of social media.
Do I? Yeah. I do, Georgie. Won't surprise you. Yeah.
Well, I follow you on Twitter, so I know this, and I've seen this.
Georgie's been very kind and teeing it up with a journalistic question of, do you, when you know full well.
I know damn well you do, yeah.
And you've been very supportive of me, and I thank you for that, because you have been lovely. Yeah, it's not nice. I tell you why, though. It's never fine to be homophobically abused. It's never fine. It's never fine. It's never fine. I'm just going to say that. But I have got pretty thick skin, and I'm pretty used to it. And it takes something really nasty to really get under my skin. And even then, I'll sort of fire out a tweet. I'll have a cup of tea. I'll have another cup of tea. And I'm genuinely quite good at moving on. It's hard for my family and friends. That's where it's actually hard. If they see an article I've written about Jakub Janto, the Czech Republic footballer, and the BBC, as they should, put it on their Facebook page, and you see the comments. I see the comments, and I know how to deal with them. And my parents, who are wise to the world, see the comments, and they know that they're coming, but it's not nice for them. That's the hard bit. Is it hard enough to stop me? Very few times I felt that way. Very few times, because I think I love it too much.
What about the guests, though? I guess they get abuse as well.
Yeah.
It's so sad we have to have this conversation, though, isn't it, Jack?
So, yeah, it is really sad we have to have this conversation, but we do. The folks who come on the pod who are already out are wise to the world. Doesn't make it right at all, but they will already have shared their story somewhere else, and so they will have, sadly, had a degree of it. I'm always really conscious if someone shares their story for the first time, they're not out publicly, because those stories tend to be the ones as well where maybe we do bits for the telly, maybe we do an online article. I do say to them, I say to them, your phone's going to buzz for about a day, 2 days, 3 days, and some of it's not going to be nice. Just know I'm always here to support you. Have people around you. Tell other people in your life, if you can, that this is what you're going to do. So they are made aware of it. But there's only so much you can do. You've got that duty of care, and I'm really conscious about that. But also, the guests know they'll be getting that. The reason they want to come out is because they want to live their life authentically. But we try and prep them, and we definitely do our due diligence. And then whatever people say, people say.
February is LGBTQ+ History Month. How do you feel about that? Is it a positive thing? The reason I asked, Jack, is because I'm going to fling a quote at you from your own podcast. The best thing that can happen to this podcast is we don't need this podcast. We literally drive ourselves out of business because it's so normalized. So where do you see the podcast going in the future?
Two different things, I guess. What do I think of LGBT+ History Month? I guess I've sort of had a bit of an evolution on this, and I wasn't particularly one way or the other, but I do remember way before I started the podcast saying to someone, why do we need rainbow laces? And feeling like I didn't want to be treated differently. And that's what so many LGBTQ+ people think, and I still think that. And then I became more aware of what I wasn't seeing in the media, and I thought, look, if we can have a month where actually there is just more visibility, forget why it's happening, just because most people aren't aware it's LGBT+ History Month, but lots of people in February will start seeing more content because it is. And if that's going to help one person, then that is a good thing. That is a net win. What it doesn't excuse any organisation or media company from doing is going, you may have a good story here, Jack, but it's April. It's not the right month for it. We can do it in February, or we can do it in Pride Month. And I'm not saying that has ever happened to me, but let's be wise to the world. That does happen. In terms of the pod, yeah, we should drive ourselves out of business. There should come a point where being LGBTQ+ is so normalized and so accepted that, frankly, I get muscled out of the equation. I don't think that's going to happen for a while. And selfishly, I want to keep this podcast going as long as I can, because it's a gift. It's a gift to speak to those people. But there will come a point where it is so normalized that we just don't need it. But I think that's a long way off.
It's been lovely talking to you, Jack. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Where can people find the podcast?
Well, bless you. Thank you for having me on. It's been lovely speaking to you as well. And you have been one of my biggest supporters on social media. I'd be remiss if I didn't say that. I'm going to say the best place to get it is BBC Sounds. However, I would be remiss if I didn't say there are all the other platforms that aren't BBC Sounds, where if you put it in, you will find it.
A huge thank you to Jack Murley for being our guest this week. You can find all episodes of the BBC LGBT Sports podcast on BBC Sounds or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget, there's still time to get your tickets for the Foot in the Door event in Glasgow on the 28th of February. Just go to radioacademy.org for more details, including who the guest speakers will be, and there are some great names. If you have an idea for the podcast, then you can get in touch at podcast@radioacademy.org. I'd love to hear from you. And if you subscribe to the Radio Academy podcast, then you'll never miss an episode. I'll see you next week.